You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into this mini-sode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And joining us today is someone who has been seen many times on the Broadway. He is a dad talking loud today. He's been seen in Mamma Mia, Honeymoon in Vegas, Groundhog Day. So funny in that. Anything Goes. Most recently, he was seen in Aladdin. Please welcome Raymond J. Lee.
Hi, Kara. Hi, Jess. Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
Hi. I'm miming some applause for you, Ray.
I'm going to say yay, hashtag pandemic parents. Parents, we're doing it.
We are doing it for sure. Oh my God. How's it going for y'all over there? I mean, you've got Ella.
Just coffee, remote school. We're hanging in there. You know, it's what a year of like, I feel like we live week, day by day, not even week by week. It's like a day by day. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times moment by moment, I feel like.
Tantrum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tantrum by tantrum. It's like, okay, what mood are you? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, they have so many emotions, right? That they're trying to also navigate within themselves. And Ella and Elliot are in the same grade, first grade, right?
Yeah. First grade.
Yeah. So Ella and Elliot are in the same grade. And then Kara's got Elon, who's, you know, 7, and Finn is almost 4, which is crazy. Wow. So they've got all these emotions, but they don't quite know how to tell us about them, right? It's like how to express it. And
yeah, it's like, how do you decipher what their mood is? Because clearly something's in their brain. So it's like, do I use cartoon characters? Do I use stuffed animals? Like, let's talk about what's happening inside of you. You know, like what your mind is thinking. So
right, truly. We wanted you here today, Ray. We asked you to join us to talk about your journey to parenthood, because it is something a little different, right? I mean, let's just start with the fact that you're a gay dad. First off, right? Yeah. So it doesn't come about in the most, if we want to say like natural, quote unquote, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Wait, will you take us through your journey?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So me and my husband have been together for a while now. And we, when we first started talking about kids, it was like, which road do we go? Do we foster? Do we adopt? Do we surrogacy? And just open adoption, and our adoption was the way that we just, our hearts kind of geared towards. So luckily I was in Mamma Mia at the time, and David Beach, a fellow cast member, had adopted his beautiful daughters from an organization called Spence Chapin. So we went to an informational meeting and we signed up for classes.
Oh,
I'm sign us up.
You know, sign us up. Yeah. Down payment here. and it was funny because being the gay dads in the group, it was like, I think 4 or 5 other straight couples, and they had gone through the gamut of trying it naturally, IVF. And so everybody was kind of in a very serious mood. And here comes me and my husband like, hey, what's up, y'all?
We're going to have a light up.
Yeah, baby, mimosas, work, theme.
Brunch, should we have brunch after this?
Yes. Anybody watching Housewives? so we went through the classes and the social worker tests and all this stuff. We were in the books for about 2 years until our daughter Ella came home. And with Spence Chapin, the birth mom or the birth parents pick the adopted parents. And so it's an open adoption, and we get to see her regularly. We saw her actually a couple days ago. She feels like an aunt, and we're very lucky, especially being gay dads with a daughter. Mm-hmm. It's like, she has had questions like, do I have a mommy? And we say, you do, you have a mommy. She, mm-hmm. She couldn't raise you. So she picked daddy and papa to be daddy and papa. So she has this support team, this parent glam squad.
Ray, you're making me like tear up at 9 a.m. over here. Oh. This is like, that's just so sweet. I mean, that's how special that she has you guys and that her birth mother picked you. I mean, clearly the stars aligned.
Yeah, we're very lucky. We know how we're so grateful because, there were days when we were waiting. We had 3 or 4 final callbacks for kids. Oh. It fully is no joke. Audition, callback, final callback. You book the job. And when you do book the job, the money might fall through, which is what happened to us once, where we were picked and the parents decided to raise their child. So we went through it all. And there were days that we didn't know if it was going to happen, but we picked each other back up and we're glad we did because our daughter's our world.
Oh, I just love that so much. And it sounds like these conversations about, I think people hear open adoption and probably think how hard that might be, right? To balance, their birth parents with their adoptive parents and how you navigate that. Yeah. But man, it sounds like it's almost happening kind of naturally and intrinsically as she grows up. Was there like a moment where you had to have a conversation or did it just kind of come about?
I think early on, my husband and I decided we were just going to be as honest as we could with her because our family is so unique. I mean, he's a European mutt. I'm Korean American. She is biracial. So clearly all three of us are very different. And so we decided just to keep everything honest and open. If she had a question, we were going to do our best to answer it honestly. That was kind of our mentality from the beginning. And we'll see what happens when she's a teenager, but that's what we're sticking with.
I know, but I do have to agree. I mean, I think there's something to just being honest with your children. I mean, clearly speaking to them on a level and giving them information that is appropriate for their age, but to be honest and open, and that's how you build the trust with your child, I think, so that they can come to you and they know that it's a safe space, that speaking with their parents is a place where they don't have to worry about judgment. That is, not everyone can do that. But when you're able to, I think that is such a special gift.
Thanks, y'all. It's funny because there was an incident. As she gets older, it's fun to see how she takes our family in and processes the family she has. And there was one little boy at our playground in Queens who just kept asking, like, where's your mommy? Where's your mommy? And she finally just had and said, I have two daddies. And just let him know. And then he stopped and was like, I wish I had two daddies. You're like, oh, yes, queen, work. Okay, that worked.
Yes. Yes, that is the answer we would want to hear, right? That. Oh my God. Oh my God. And just in Queens, it's like, hey, that's raising a city kid, right? I mean, have you noticed? I know that you guys are displaced to a certain degree, right? So many of us are. We've left the city to sort of just be, in a world where there's more space and more air, and if we have the privilege of being able to do that. And I know you guys are upstate now, right? So does Ella have playmates upstate at all to do outdoor? How is that going right now?
So we were in Queens and we decided to be up here just because we are fortunate to have a vacation home up here that we were renting out. And now we're not, but there's a yard. There's just ample space. You can actually run around. We have a tiny pool, so we were able to teach her how to swim. When it comes to playmates, we decided she's getting bored of her dad's, clearly. How can we find friends? And luckily, as things have opened up here, we enrolled her in karate and gymnastics, and their teachers are very good about masks and social distance and sanitizing. So we've started that, and she's started to meet other kids her age. And school has started, so she's starting to see her friends on Google. And in about a week or two, they'll be going 2 days a week in school, 3 days remote. So
you enrolled her up there?
Yeah, she's fully enrolled here now.
Wow.
Because New York City schools, they weren't sure what was happening and they kept delaying it. Ooh.
Yeah.
So. It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't, I mean, I'm I mean, the administrators and the teachers and everybody trying to figure this out, I have so much compassion for them because it is an impossible situation. But it does kind of feel like New York dropped the ball.
Our principal of our elementary school is one of the fiercest ladies ever. Like, she's such a kick-ass principal. And I just know she's dealing with all sorts of stuff from higher end. And I mean, the biggest thing of us being up here was that we took public transportation to school. And it was, like, crowded. And there's just no way we could do that with a pandemic. So that was a big reason to come up here and move.
Yeah, Eric and I were just talking about the subways yesterday, actually. He was like, remember the subways? Remember how crowded they were? He was like, because you just, I think now that we're in this position, we think about how often we share the air closely with strangers and people we don't know. And it starts to really, you realize, oh, wow, yeah, that won't be happening. Or
I think it will forever change us, to be quite honest. Like, I don't think most of us will get on an airplane now without having a mask in our back pocket. Like, I really do think we're going to move about the world a little differently, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny how fast it changes too. Cause I was in the city last week and, I guess I was so, numb to how close people are in the city and being away from it. When I went back, I was like, people are too close. So it's interesting.
What are you guys doing I don't even know what your husband does for work, so we should cover that. But what are you doing to keep yourself sustained, fulfilled, supporting a family? What are you doing during this time to kind of piece it all together?
Yeah, because Ray Lee does all the readings. Normally, Ray Lee is like the go-to featured actor in the readings. I mean, truly, for a fact, you're always doing a reading. If there's a reading, it's Ray Lee. He's there. Yep. So what's happening now?
I remember when I first started my career, I was like, okay, if I can hit a B and I'm ethnic, I think I can carve out some sort of niche. I remember being like, okay, so I worked on my high B and luckily I can still hit it. But
well, you've done it.
That's true. You got to find your niche, honey.
Sure. Good on you.
Get that tenor. No, we've been, my husband's a muggle. He used to work for Accenture, and when all this happened, he was lucky to be up here and work remote. There was a fast learning curve, so he's been able to do that and help pay bills. I was in the middle of doing the Britney Spears musical, which I'm like, damn you, 2020!
Oh, God.
That's like dream musical. I'm a gay boy from the 90s. Like, how dare you take this away from me?
Literally, like living your best life in that, I'm sure.
Like, we did a costume fitting and like, I looked like a pop star. Like, I was living every just
dreams. You know, dreams. I was legit Britney Spears for Halloween one year. Like, the red pleather.
Yes,
you were Kara Cooper.
Oops,
and
I
you
did
looked
it again.
Hot, I'm sure.
I did it again.
Well, how far into the process were you guys when that happened?
We were like the second or third week of rehearsal. I think we had finished, you know, staging act one. And once, you know, once they shut down Broadway, it was like, oh, we know what's about to happen. And I know Eric, too, with Fly, we were like wondering what was going to happen to.
Yeah. Yeah. Fly down here in La Jolla. I mean, it's just everything shut down. When Broadway shut down, I was doing Tina. And so we got the notice first that Broadway was shutting down. And Eric's like, come out here. You know, because we thought, okay, La Jolla, like the show might shut down, but maybe they'll at least finish the week. They had literally just opened 2 days before. Mm-hmm. And we thought they'll finish the week at least. And then a few hours later, he called me and he was like, nope, we're done. It's done. So it's been I think the degree and the speed at which everything was just taken away from our industry has been, there's whiplash to that. And I think there's real trauma and grief that so many of us aren't, you know, I think it comes out in fits and spurts, right? Like some, you know, you have your emotional days, but I think that's something that I don't, that hasn't really been talked about enough, to be honest.
It's hard because me and my husband, because he's a muggle and, you know, his office job, which he's passionate about, it's just not who he is, if that makes any sense, versus what we do. It's like, it's who we are. It's part of our soul. So not being unable to do that, I have a microphone, so I try and do some covers, I try and do some gigs here and there, but there's nothing like actually being on a stage and feeling like your soul is being used on earth, that nothing will ever replace that.
It's so funny when you were doing the canned applause, Jess, like when you're clapping your hands, like I thought to myself, when will that be a thing again? When will people sit in a space and show their love for what's happening on stage that way? And that energy exchange and how incredible it is. I just, when will that be?
When will that be?
And I hang on to the day that it will come back. It will come back. And can you guys imagine like what that day's going to be like?
I thought about that. I mean, it's like, you know we're all hoping and assuming that when it comes back, you know, for sure, like Tina comes back. Because, you know, Adrienne Warren was giving you a fierce performance that needs not be missed. She needs a Tony for that shout out. But I was talking, you know, I thought the show starts and the curtain rises and she's sitting with her back to the audience center stage. Chanting, and you can hear, and it's takes place at her concert in Brazil, and you can hear Tina, Tina, and like the chant of like the crowd. And I just thought, I get chills thinking about when that curtain goes up the first time, like what the response will be from the audience watching that, and like we're back, and how emotional that will be. You know, I can't wait.
It's going to be 15 minutes of people. I feel like everyone's going to cry. Everyone's going to cry. The audience is going to probably get on their feet because they've been waiting so long for it. It's going to be magical. So.
Yeah. And people are wanting it. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if nothing else, I think it's making people even more aware of how vital the arts and live performance are to humanity and to our culture, you know, at large. I mean, it's a connection that is unlike anything else.
Yeah, agreed.
I wasn't in a show when the shutdown happened, and I want to be in the audience of a show when it comes back. You know, most likely my husband's at the Book of Mormon, so I've said to him, I was like, when you're back, I'm in the audience. Like, we'll figure out who's taking care of the kids, but I need to feel that. I need to feel that energy in the theater.
Yeah. I know. I'm just like, I just feel it. Yep.
Amen. Yep. We're going to hold on to that hope. So you're doing all the things, you're like juggling all the balls, you're doing some covers, you're doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, it's so funny because it's like, what are y'all doing? It's like, I don't get a chance to, I feel like, socialize. I feel like we're all like in our pods. So it's like, I will take all the advice on what are y'all doing as well to like stay relatively sane when it comes to art.
Well, I mean, I just,
a lot there of was this.
A lot of this.
A lot of mama's talking loud.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and Elliot and I, right. I mean, there was a lot of rosé and a lot of Triscuits and cheese at the beginning. And then I decided, this is not sustainable. But I was like, I have to rein it in. But Elliot and I actually started a bead business recently, a beaded bracelet business. It's called Ivy and Clark. We had been making bracelets and doing lots of, I mean, I'm sure the activities are abundant at your home as well, with like trying to keep them occupied.
Here,
yeah. Give
me one here. Let me
He's getting up. He's going.
As you speak of activities, no joke. This is what this is like. I mean,
yes.
Oh yes. Yarn. Or is that the yarn?
Latched rug yarning. It's
we're looking at a fabulous fox, everybody, and like a like on a piece of rug, just so you know.
I'm pretty sure I saw that on your Instagram, guys. So y'all need to hit Ray's Instagram and check that out, because it's really pretty. But yeah, like the crafting and the activity. So Elliot and I have been making bracelets for her friends and just for fun. And so I made some for myself that had like Breathe on it and Mama. And we thought, why not spread the love and spread the joy? So we started Ivy and Clark, and that's what we're doing. That's a big part of it. But I think that for a while, nobody really wanted, most of us, everyone responds differently, right? I mean, some people right out of the gate were doing stuff. And I remember Eric saying, my husband saying, they're going to tire out. This is like the beginning, and then they're going to be tired. He's like, so, because I felt like, oh, I need to be doing stuff. We need to be doing concerts. We need to be putting ourselves out there.
Yeah.
And then you just realize, no, you know what? It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I feel breathe.
Absolutely. I feel like I just now feel ready to reenter like the audition world and all of that. Like I needed a big minute away. Jessica knows, like the caretaking of the kids and just figuring out life and what that looked like for us. And my kids are also now back in school, and I do feel like a sense of freedom and a more like returning to focusing on myself a little bit more. Which has been incredible. But I also teach fitness. I'm a personal trainer. I've been a personal trainer for a long time, and I always do it when I'm not in a show. Do you know what I mean? It's like my side hustle. So I'm doing that now much more regularly, which is good for my, you know, endorphins and my mental health. So just, you know, doing a little bit of everything, I feel like.
It's like working on yourself, like giving yourself finally that attention after having A, survived pandemic parenting, and B, the business just being on hiatus. Yeah. So,
well, and I think coming to terms with just the fact that this is going to go on for a while, you know, I think you have to get to a point. We for sure did, Eric and I, where it just, we came back, we went to see family in August. And when we got back, it felt like there had been a shift of like, okay, we have to thrive as best we can in the present moment of where we're at, because I don't think Broadway will be back for a good long while, even longer than what we're wanting to think, you know? So we have to figure out how to exist in a world without live theater, which is, like you said, it's our soul, it's our passion. And so that's, we're all just doing the best we can, right? Are you guys planning to now be up there for indefinitely?
I think indefinitely we'll be up here. I will try, you know, once Broadway does open up, and if, you know, if and when I'm employed, I will go back and forth. But we're enrolling her in school here. We're going to finally make the life here that I think my husband has really been wanting. And yeah, in the meantime, we're just, you know, trying to stay sane, whether it's, you know, latch drug activities. And I, again, try to figure out the voiceover world. So I've been, you know, putting some energy into that. There was a good time where I just, you know, had to remind myself we're living in a pandemic, and I'm also a parent. So I need to give myself a break instead of trying to keep up with everybody, you know?
Right. Yeah. Because that is a very different life, you know, not to take anything away from the experiences of people who don't have children during this time, but particularly these first 6 months were a lot for those of us who, you know, who were doing that, who were pandemic parenting. And so to the part of us who are artists had to sort of take a backseat for a minute, right? To figure that out. I remember, and we can't keep up.
I'm sorry. Like, I remember reading statuses of friends who were like, I have so much time. Like, what do I do? And I was like, told my husband, like, what? I want that problem.
What is this time of which you speak?
Yeah. But they'd be like, I just woke up from my, you know, that nap was so good. I'm like, a nap?
What? What is a nap, people?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You wake up refreshed? What does that feel like?
I know. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's, I think that, not that being a parent, a working parent in normal times wasn't difficult also, but at least we tended to have something else to take our energies away from, you know, from full-time parenthood. You know, you could go and have your own, you know, I would go to the theater and I would have time to myself on the subway, and I would, I have no time to myself.
Commuting is me time.
Yeah.
Like, that is so essential.
Yeah.
And there is no commuting.
I'm right there with you, Kara. There's no commuting.
Exactly.
Even in the dressing room, like, it was nice to, like, not have to make sure, you know, I mean, make sure, like, I always have to make sure my daughter's alive. I'm always paranoid. But at the dressing room, we're like, oh, we can just kiki. How was your date? What are you eating?
Right.
Did you watch the Avengers?
No little person interrupting the conversation constantly.
Needs to pee when the most amazing thing is happening on screen. Daddy, I need to pee. Like, now! You're finding the next Infinity Stone. Now you need to pee.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, we're doing the best we can, right, Ray? Yeah. I mean, we're doing the best we can and being present.
And can I actually add one thing, ladies? Is that okay? Because I think the number one question I always get about adoption is, I just want to tell people to stay strong. That's a theme with adoption. It doesn't go the way you planned, but it ends up being way better than you could have ever thought in your head. And the trials and tribulations are worth it, because once your kid comes home, you don't remember that other stuff. So stay strong to anyone out there that's going through the process of adoption.
Oh, I love that, Ray. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And we will tell everyone, just in case they don't look at the info, where can they find you?
My Instagram and Twitter handle is @RaymondJLee. And Yeah, you'll see pictures of either me, my daughter, or just gay dad life. So,
well, I love gay dad life.
The fox rug.
Yeah, exactly. We love the gay dad life. Thank you so much, Ray. Be well and enjoy the space and the time. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.